This is what he says. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. This is a wonderful verse. It's so well known. It's so beautiful. We have a conference in Aberystwyth every August. It can't be held this year, alas. And there was a couple from Lonlash that came every year to the conference. And she had a stroke and was in the local hospital. And he was sitting by the bed. I went to see them while she remained in hospital. When all the conference left, she was there. And I gave her this verse. I said to her, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. And they always remember that. She died in the following year. He kept coming back to the conference. And he'd see me and he'd say, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. Three things. All right. Firstly, the Lord, Jehovah, he is good. No darkness in him. No cosmic malice. No evil intentions, no ill will, no impurity. A God of absolute benevolence and purity and integrity and beauty and attractiveness. The Lord is good. That's the essence of God. That's the heart of God. That's the core of God. No matter how you creep up on him and catch him by surprise, there's no darkness. He's got no past to be ashamed of. No prerogatives in which he acts less than good. In all he does, when he chastens us, when he says no to us, when he sends the COVID-19 upon us, he's good. In his being, in the depths of his being, you go into him and he's good. And in and in and he's good. And in and in and in and he's good. And in and in and in and in. And in and in and in and in. And he's good. That all he is good. There's not a little crutch somewhere. There's not a dark room and a dark cupboard and a dark drawer and a dark box. And there's some darkness there which is God. Nothing at all. Not one dark molecule at all in God. There are spots on the sun, we're told, but there are no spots on God. No shadow of turning. No weak spots under pressure. No faults he didn't know about until something surprising came, and then he discovered that he was weak like the rest of us. No weakness in God. The Lord is good. A good God rules this world. May the world will judge the world. His goodness is such that everybody is a beneficiary. That's why I could go to that hospital and talk to that Christian lady and then talk to the other people listening to me in the ward. God had been good to them too. They weren't church going like she was, but God was good to them. Every good and lovely thing they had in their lives, their loving parents and the good health they had, the prosperity they had, the way that God had saved them from illness and accident. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. We're evil, but we know how to give good gifts to our children because of an earlier grace. Because of a grace shown to Adam and Eve, because of great reformations and revivals in the past, then that has meant that there are people that are wonderfully kind and helpful. We've got good neighbors. They look after us. They look after our house when we're away, and they kind of wish they'd come to church with us. But we've got family that are lovely people. They're not Christians. God is good to them all. He's made a covenant with Noah that the world isn't going to be drowned in judgment and condemnation again. God is with us in times of plague and darkness. He's not like the gods that are worshipped called Baal, that people dance before and long for them to answer, and he doesn't answer. Our God hears us. We can pray to him and he will listen to us. He keeps his words. He keeps his promise. But he's specially good to us, his people. He has saved a vast company of people, and oh, he is so good to them. He is long-suffering to them. He supplies all our needs. He works all things together for our good. Nothing separates us from his love. How wonderful he is. He gives us strength sufficient for every emergency and every trial. As your days, so will your strength be. Our good God says to us, he makes the most wonderful offers to the world. He says, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. You might have been like Rahab the harlot, but if you come to me, I'll forgive you. You might be like David, the king, who was such a wretched man in his relationship with women. God says, you confess your sins to me, and I'll forgive even you your sins. There's a day of judgment, and it will be a good day of judgment. It's not that things will be overlooked and that there will be evil represented as good. You take every factor into our consideration. He knows all about us, and he will then show such justice and mercy to all. It will be absolutely straight. You know where you are with our God. And so that's the first thing I want to say to you. Don't forget this ever. The Lord is good. Second thing I want to say to you, that he is a stronghold in a day of trouble. Now, isn't that interesting? God is good, but there are days of trouble. God is good. And so some people say, oh, well, then there's going to be prosperity and no trouble at all. And if trouble comes, it's because you sinned. And that's what they say to us. And yet, Job was a good man, and trouble came into his life. And Joseph was a good man, and trouble came into his life. And Paul, after he was saved, was an exemplary Christian, but all sorts of troubles came into his life. And while the world hates our Savior, it's going to hate all those who live like him and love him and serve him. And Jesus says, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. We think of thousands of Christians today in wretched cells, in prison, in dungeon. Women locked up there, away from their husbands and children, on trumped up charges. Poor women, how we long for them to be free. And blessed are you. Men revile you and persecute you, but God loves you, and God is there with you. You can say, as Wesley said, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Days of trouble come. But then, you notice it says, the day of trouble, doesn't it? A stronghold in the day of trouble. There are always troubles, every day there are difficulties and challenges, but sometimes one trouble seems to follow another. One trouble seems to beckon, and it runs on the heels of a previous trouble. There is sickness, and then there's another sickness, and then there's unemployment, and then there's trouble in the family and trouble in the church, and it's a terrible season of trouble. The psalmist said, iniquities against me prevail from day today. And so then Nahum says, in the day of trouble, in the period, the time of trouble, there's a stronghold. We have someone to turn to. Who do you have to turn to? We got a Savior, a God, a good Jehovah, and we can turn to him in the day of trouble. Our mighty fortress is our God. Who is he? Well, he's a stronghold in Aberystwyth, where I lived for 50 years. There was a castle. Well, it was a ruined castle, but it wasn't a ruined house. It wasn't a ruined prefab. It wasn't a ruined bungalow. It was a ruined castle. It had a turret and a tower and a place where a drawbridge had to go and where a portcullis came down. It was a castle, but it was ruined. Ah, when it was standing there, and when a boat with the Vikings came, and the sentry on duty blew the trumpet across Aberystwyth, and all the people came out of their homes and out of their farms, and they ran inside the castle, and the drawbridge came up, and the people were safe, and the Vikings couldn't attack them. There was a place to go, a stronghold in the day of trouble. A Christian has a stronghold, and his name is Jesus. I'm Fester Berger. Our mighty fortress is our God. You remember there were two sisters, and they loved their brother. And their brother was called Lazarus. And one day Lazarus was ill, and he got worse and worse. And what did they do? They went to the fortress. They went and they sent a word to Jesus, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They told the Savior about their brother. They went to the fortress. Of course, people are sick. The people downstairs, they've been sick in these departments. A fine man in our church grew ill and died with the coronavirus. Godly people. Job was so sick, a virus hit him and he came out in boils. He was a good man. It was a day of trouble, but he trusted in God. He said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's an old hymn that says, are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious about tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Are you for Christ's kingdom sighing? Tell it to Jesus. Are you telling it to Jesus? Do you have a stronghold to go to when times of trouble come into your life? There's an old hymn, another old hymn. When anxious that the crimson tide that flowed from his dear wounded side should for thy cleansing be applied? Tell Jesus, when saddened by the strength of sin that oft disturbs thy peace within, and victory seems so hard to win, tell Jesus, when visions of the coming years wake in thy bosom anxious fears of what may be when parting nears, tell Jesus, when death, regardless of thy moan, has claimed thy dearest for his own. Oh, carry not thy grief alone. Tell Jesus, when burdens great thou hast to bear, oh, trifling ones, thy patience wear. The great, the small, he waits to share. Tell Jesus, when in his service, often depressed, that few receive the heavenly guest, don't be discouraged like the rest. Tell Jesus. When John the Baptist died, his disciples took his body and mourned over him and buried him and went and told Jesus. They didn't keep it bottled up. They knew who to go to. A mighty fortress, a stronghold, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me everything, the little things, the headaches, the pain in the hip, the weariness now that comes to you. Tell Jesus, go to the throne of grace. What a mighty stronghold it is in the day of trouble. There were people that left Jesus, and he turned to his disciples and he said, are you also going to go? And Peter said, where? To whom? To whom? Who have we got? Who have you got? If you reject my Savior, who have you got? If you said, oh, it's the old story. Yes, it is. It's the old story of the love of Jesus Christ. And some of us have known it 65 years. Since in a little Welsh chapel, I heard the gospel as a teenager and believed. He's been a mighty stronghold to me all those years. Who have you got? Who can you say that you've got? Is there some politician? Is there some media star? Is there a pop star? Is there a soccer player, a rugby player that you've got? You've got his picture up, you read his books. Who have you got? Who can compare to the preacher of the Sermon on the Mount? Who can compare to the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You think of that lovely evangelist preacher who stood in your pulpit and preached for years and years and broadcast over the world. And he had one great message, that Jesus Christ is a mighty stronghold and a wonderful Savior. You heard the gospel from him. Have you still not trusted in the Savior? To whom when you go when you're laboring and heavy laden? To whom will you go when you're troubled by guilt? To whom will you go when evils prevail? To whom will you go when your marriage is on the rocks? To whom will you go when your children start staying out late at night? Who are you going to talk to about that? When sickness comes, when the coronavirus comes into your life, whom are you going to talk to? Who are you going to ask for help? When you run out of money, when you got an MOT bill on the car, when you become unemployed, and there's not much money in the bank, who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to ask for help? Here is this mighty fortress, our God. You know, people go to pubs. They used to go to pubs. Now they go to the off-license, and they're buying alcohol. Since this coronavirus has spread to the country, there are more people drinking than ever before. People go to the cults. People go on the road. People say, well, you trust in science. Has science found an answer? Does it promise it will, even to this practical problem? Has science the answer to death? To whom will you go in every crisis, in every need? Listen, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Go to him for forgiveness. Go to him for protection for all you and yours, of your little ones, of the weak, of the needy. When death draws near, all the resources of heaven and earth are at his command. He can help you. By him you can ford any river. By him you can climb any mountain. By him you can carry any burden. By him you can do anything that he asks of you. You can forgive 70 times 7, that grudge that burns away in your heart against someone. You can put that fire out by him. You can turn the other cheek. If you want patience, if you want gentleness, if you want to have a kind and loving heart, go to this mighty stronghold, Jesus Christ. Go in the day of trouble. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Go to him. Who else? Who have you got? Who are you going to turn to? If you say no to my Saviour. So, two things then I've said to you. That God has brought you here today to learn, firstly, that the Lord is good. Secondly, that there's a stronghold that you can go to in the day of trouble. And then the last thing I want to say to you is this. He knows those that trust in him. You know, he knows that. Now, that doesn't simply mean that he is omniscient. Doesn't mean just that. He knows everything. God, of course, knows everything. There's no mysteries in God. It doesn't mean that here. It doesn't mean that he's aware of us, where we live, when we were born, what we've done, the good and the bad things until now. It doesn't mean that. In the Bible, to know is very, very often more affectionate than cognizant. For God to know means to love. God loves. God cares. Remember Amos the prophet spoke in God's name to the people and he said to them, you only have I known. Of all the families of the earth, he knew all about the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Greeks and the Romans. He knows all about British people today. God knows that. He says, you only have I known. Well, what does he mean? Well, it means love. It means he has a love for his people. In the day of judgment, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, of course, he knew. He knew about all those who he condemned. He knows the opportunities they had to hear the gospel, to read the Bible, to repent of their sins. He knew all that about them. But they always said, no, next year, when I grow older, when I've tasted the world. God didn't know them. God didn't love them. They were Pharaoh. They were not Joseph. They were Esau. They weren't Jacob. He loved Jacob. He loved Joseph. He loves his people. We are told in the Bible, Adam knew his wife Eve. Well, that wasn't just that he knew she was 5'2" with eyes of blue. That was a knowledge of affection, a passionate knowledge, a loving knowledge. The message of Hosea. Hosea's wife is a wretched woman. She's unfaithful to him. He loves her. She is sold into slavery. He buys her back. He brings her into his arms, into his home again. Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5. He gave himself because he loved her. He died for her. He shed his blood for sinners like Saul of Tarsus. For me. For you. Don't think I've been too hard. I've gone too far. I'm too cold. I'm too dead. Abundant mercy is far greater than the abundance of your sins. God in love with his people. God sending his son to die for his people. God not coming down from the cross until the full price for our salvation had been paid. God, passionate about our salvation. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. He knows them that love him. He knows them. He loves them. He loves them. Who does he love? What is this verse saying? What are the last words? Those that trust in him. That word faith, it's a strong word. It's a Latin-based word, isn't it? It's based on fide, faith, strong, one syllable. Let's go back to an old Anglo-Saxon word, a softer word, trust. You trust your husband. He's not home yet, but he doesn't fool around. He'll soon be home. You trust him. You trust your children when they go off to camp. You trust that they'll behave themselves. You've got a digital clock at the side of your bed and you look at it in the middle of the night and it tells you the time. You can trust what that clock says. You can trust all that Jesus has said and all that Jesus has done. When he says, I and my Father are one. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life. When he says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. When he says, I will raise him up in the last day. Jesus said that. Trust Jesus. I don't say you must trust everything I say. I'm a sinner. But you can trust everything that Jesus said, and you can trust everything he did. When he said, it is finished, then he accomplished our redemption. We deserve eternal death because we're sinners. Jesus Christ paid the ransom price, took our guilt, took our condemnation. In our place condemned, he stood. He suffered there, the just and holy one for us unjust people. He died as a substitute. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is who Jesus is. Do you know that God brought you this morning to listen to this message, to tell you this most wonderful truth that you could ever possibly know? You know, God's providence has brought you here today to learn these three things. That God is good. The God you've been ignoring all your life, he is good. And there is a stronghold that you can run into and be safe, and it's Jesus Christ, the mighty fortress. And now you can learn that he loves those who put their trust in him. Don't trust the dearest and the sweetest man or woman, even your parents who said religion's out of date, that Jesus Christ you don't need to know. Trust Jesus. That's my message to you. To whom else can you go? Here is the Savior, and he has orchestrated the events of this day. He caused your secretary to get in contact with me through somebody else. He set up all this paraphernalia of this set and you sitting and listening in your homes. And here is Jesus, where two meet, me and you. There's a third one present. And he's saying, I love you and I want you to become my disciple. I love you so much that I brought this message of the gospel through Jeff Thomas to you. I'm speaking to you to tell you today, come to me. Come to me. I'll forgive your sins. I've seen all you've done, but I'll pardon you, and I'll be your Lord, and I'll be your Savior. If you turn from those sins and trust in me, you turn from your unbelief, and from now on, be one of my disciples. That's the Christian life. It all comes through Jesus Christ. And it all comes as we trust in him to us. I commend my Savior to you. The Lord is a good Lord. He's a good stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those and loves those who trust in him. Amen. Let us pray. We ask thee, Lord, to bless your word now. Give it saving power and sanctifying energy in all those who say amen to everything that they've heard today, they know to be true. We pray that you will bring life to the dead and a softening of heart to the hard-hearted and understanding to the ignorant and cleansing to the defiled and strength to the weak. Oh Lord, this is your prerogative. Grant it, we pray, that the grace of Jesus Christ be with all who've heard these words. We ask in the Saviour's name. Amen.